get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Everybody, welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 259 of the report, and right now we're rocking out to some Raphael Sadiq. So ready, rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, y'all. Your man Span is back here on these microphones after a week off, man. Had to go on a little vacation, man. Had to celebrate the Span anniversary, man. Me and my wife celebrating our anniversary. Took a little vacay, went out of town for a little bit, went down to New Orleans and had some, you know, some grub and some drink and some good times, you know what I'm saying? And, yo, I felt like it was apropos to come back with something a little festive, you know what I mean? Because this shit sounds like some, actually, sounds a lot about, like, some Chicago house music to me, man. This shit sounds, it goes, man, it goes. I'm gonna let it ride out a little bit more. All right. Yeah, man. I'm going to go ahead and turn that off. How y'all doing? I hope everybody's good and well and, like, fed and taking in the sun and all that other shit, man. You know, having good summertime vibes, man, real talk. Because the summer's leaving us. The summer is leaving us, man. We only got, like, a couple weeks of this shit left, man. And then it's, like, time for that autumn shit. You know, you got to bring out the sweaters, you know what I'm saying? The sweater vests and whatnot. You know, some of you niggas going to bring out the corduroys, and I don't know why. But, you know, that's going to be a thing. You know, people going to do that. The pumpkin spice is going to be popping, you know, all over the place. Starbucks going to have it. You know, your local coffee joint going to have it. I drink Big B coffee over here. I'm a Big B guy. You know, it's a Michigan place. But, yeah, man, it is... Episode 259 of the Span Report podcast, man. And, yo, like I said, we've been gone for like a week or so. And a lot of shit has been happening since the last time I was on the mic. And we're going to talk about quite a bit of stuff here on the show tonight, man. But of course, before we do that, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll replay them here on the show and respond in kind. You can also call us live while we're doing the show, man. So if you got any thoughts about what we're talking about here and you in the live crowdcast and you're in the chat, go ahead and pull up your phone and be like, yo, man, I want my voice on this. I want niggas to know what I think on this that this nigga Span talking about. So go ahead and do that. Hit up the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. You can also hit us up on the email here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails, and of course those emails will get read here live on the show and responded to here live on the show as well. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It's one way to help the show grow, man. And it's something that, you know, let everybody know why you messing with this, man. Real talk, like, yo, I fuck with this and here's why, you know. And when people look for new shit to listen to, they're like, hey, why do you listen to that over there? That's one way you can put down, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. Also, you can hit me up on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span. You can go ahead and follow me there, and on Instagram, follow me there, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, man, you can hit up our store at www.thespanreport.com. You can get to the store from there. Just hit the tab that says take me to the store. And you can go there and buy yourself some merch, man. Get yourself a t-shirt or a coffee mug or whatever else, man. Another way to help us, you know, kind of grow this thing, man. Get yourself some merchandise, man. It really does go towards keeping this ball rolling, right? And also, for those of you who donate to the show, we really do appreciate those folks as well, because those people, especially our Patreon patrons, if you want to support us through Patreon, you can do that at www.patreon.com/TSRPN, and you can donate to the Patreon, man, and it's what helps us do this show live here on Crowdcast, man. So very big shout out to our Patreon patrons for going above and beyond and helping us in that way, man. We really do appreciate those. Those are the golden circle of the Spirit Report Podcast Network fandom, man. So we really do appreciate them immensely. We couldn't do this without them, man. And like I said, for all your Spirit Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. You can watch the show there live at thespanreport.com. You can also vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. You can, do everything. It's pretty much everything available at thespanreport.com, man. Real talk. But yes, indeed, man. Like I said, it's been a couple weeks since your man Span been on the mic, and a lot of things have been going on, man, like mass shootings and presidential misbehavior and congressional misbehavior and all sorts of craziness been going on, man. And, we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of that. Actually, most of that stuff we ain't gonna talk about. I got a few. I got some shit. I got one. Especially the news is gonna be one thing on this episode, man. The news is one thing because it encompasses a lot, and there's a lot of folks chiming in on this particular topic. So I wanted to like save a lot of my commentary for the podcast. I didn't want to have a like go back and forth with niggas on social media, whatever else. I wanted to kind of hash all of my thoughts out right here live on the show, and yeah, just kind of let that be a thing, right? So while we're talking all this shit, man, let's just go ahead and get into the news. Don't know why I was so low. Wait a minute. Can't get into the news yet. I just thought about it. I just thought about it, man. Forgive your boy. Forgive me. It's been a minute. You know, sometimes I get off of my shit, man. You know, my routine is thrown off, get a little rusty. It only takes a week, man. It only takes a week to get thrown off your shit. I got some random thoughts before we get into this news, man. I got some random thoughts. And also, I do need to let you guys know that today's show does have a sponsor, man. And the show is actually sponsored by the Busting Nuts and Eating Butts party that's happening down in Indianola in Mississippi, man. Busting Nuts and Eating Butts, man. This is a thing that's happening August, I think, the 24th, man. Y'all got to go down there, get y'all Busting Nuts and Eating Butts thing going on, man. And here's the thing now. Here's the thing. If you're a guy and you're showing up at the party, you got to eat ass, man. It's mandatory. You got to eat ass down there, man. They ain't letting you in. If you down there and you ain't eating ass, man, they kicking you the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be down there eating ass, man. Also, you can show up to the party, man. Asshole naked, you get in for free. right? So you just show up at the party, man, dick swinging, or your titties were hanging. Go out there, get in the party for free. Now, if you show up in your drawers, you got to pay $10 though. You got to show up in your drawers, you're paying $10 at the door. But if you show up asshole naked, free admission, man. Real talk. Just go in here, bust some nuts, and eat some ass, man. It's a thing. It's happening in Indianola, Mississippi. Now, y'all know goddamn well this ain't no official sponsorship, but I seen that goddamn flyer. Was like, goddamn. Goddamn, dog. That's some crazy shit. Busting nuts and eating butts. That's but I've never been to Indianola, Mississippi. I would assume that it's not a whole lot going on down there. Maybe, you know, that's the highlight of the summer, you know? I mean, it's a thing, you know what I'm saying? So I guess I was more amused by the whole, like, hey, $10 at the door if you show up in your drawers. Oh man, yeah, that's the thing, man. Real talk. Yes, Stephanie, that's a real fucking party. If I had the flyer pulled up right now, I would show it, but I don't have it pulled up. Yeah, I saw that earlier, and it's fucking hilarious, man. The things that we come up with, man. Real talk, we are very, very creative, you know. The other part about this too. Like, are they going to be like, are they really going to be monitoring the dudes who just feel like they ain't about to put their face in somebody's ass? You know what I'm saying? Like, hold on. Let me smell your face. You know what I'm saying? All right. Yeah, that's the thing, man. That's the thing. Eating butts and busting nuts. Yeah, that's the thing. Another thing too, man, I got another random thought here. So it's back to school time. You know what I mean? You know, I feel like it's a little early, you know, like this. I know here in Michigan, man, a lot of these kids don't go back to school until after Labor Day, you know, and I like even in Chicago, I believe too, like after the Bud Billiken parade, kids ain't going back to school till then. I know a lot of people, and even if the school year did start before Labor Day, a lot of parents would hold their kids out of school and, keep them out until after Labor Day. So a lot of the school districts here in Michigan decided, like, yo, we losing out on a lot of funding while these kids being out, by these kids not being here, especially like count days and all that other stuff where they determine the funding for the district. But I was wondering, man, with the school kids going back, you know, to their thing, Umar Johnson School. You know, we talked a little bit about this earlier this year, man, that Umar Johnson had finally. You know, found himself a location and he had opened it up to school. Like, we went on a tour of the school and everything else. And I just kind of wanted to know if whether or not the kids that are going to his school are actually going to, have they received a school uniforms yet?
Nigga, please.
Like, I'm just saying, like, did they get their uniforms? I mean, you know, cause like, no, y'all don't think that's the thing. I mean, I'm just asking, man. I mean, shit, he said he found a spot. They're gonna be doing yoga and whatnot in the courtyard and everything else, man. He was gonna have like this main drag, you know, with named after him and all sorts of stuff. I was just wondering, man, if the kids got their school uniforms yet for the Umar Johnson School, you know, if that was a thing, you know. I was just kind of thinking about that. You know, another thing too, man, I was kind of thinking about, you know, your man Span is follically challenged, you know. My hairline has been betraying me for years, you know. I was looking at my hairline. I had actually let my hair kind of grow out a little bit, you know, because my clippers broke. And so, like, I had let my hair grow. My wife was looking at me like she had, like, nigga, I don't know this dude walking around the house. But, yeah, man, so I was looking up and it was like my hairline was way the fuck back here. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's, you know, you got to let it go, man. Ain't no, like, getting to Beijing. And then, like, I was thinking about getting one of them hair pieces. You know, like, you see them niggas on YouTube or whatever, and you be like, man, the transformation where this nigga went from, like, nothing to, like, having, like, the with the Odell Beckham and shit. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about getting me a piece. But then I was thinking about it, too, man. Like, I'm also follically challenged in the face. You know what I'm saying? As much as I would think that I could grow a full beard if my job would allow me to, I really couldn't. You know, and then I was thinking, like, yo, for the dudes that do grow beards, you know what I'm saying? Like, do y'all brush y'all shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I mean, like, not like just like brush it like regular brush. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying like brush it like niggas that brush their hair to get waves. You know what I'm saying? Like, is like wave, if beard waves is like that a thing? Could it be a thing? Like, do y'all know anybody that got like beard waves? You know, I was thinking about that, man. Like a nigga just sitting up all day just with a brush on his face doing this shit. You trying to have a conversation with this nigga and he just constantly brushing his face and shit. Like I wondered, I just kind of wondered if that was a thing, man. But yeah. Random thoughts, man. Sometimes I'll be thinking some crazy shit. Now we can get to the news. All right. So our first and only real story here in the news is Jay-Z, man, and his decision to have a partnership with the NFL, or announcing that partnership with the NFL. This happened earlier in the week, and we're going to actually read this article here. This comes from the NFL.com. It says that Roc Nation, the entertainment company founded by rapper and businessman Sean Jay-Z Carter, is entering into a multi-year partnership with the NFL to enhance the NFL's live game experiences and to amplify the league's social justice efforts. As part of the agreement, Roc Nation will advise on the selection of artists for major NFL performances like the Super Bowl. A major component of the partnership will be to nurture and strengthen community through football and music, including through the NFL's Inspire Change Initiative. The NFL formally launched the Inspire Change Initiative in early 2019 after more than 2 years of work with NFL players with the goal of creating positive change in communities across the country. Through this initiative, NFL teams in the league office work with the Players Coalition and other NFL players to support programs and initiatives that reduce barriers to opportunity, with the focus on three priority areas: education and economic advancement, police and community relations, and criminal justice reform. With this global reach, the NFL has the platform and the opportunity to inspire change across the country, Carter said. Roc Nation has shown that entertainment and enacting change are not mutually exclusive ideas. Instead, we unify them. This partnership is an opportunity to strengthen the fabric of communities across America. Roc Nation will also work with the NFL to create and distribute content across multiple music streaming services for a variety of initiatives. Roc Nation is one of the most globally influential and impactful organizations in entertainment, said NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. The NFL and Roc Nation share a vision of inspiring meaningful change across our country. We are thrilled to partner with Roc Nation and look forward to making a difference in our communities together. So that is the official statement from Roc Nation and the NFL concerning this particular joint venture that they're embarking into, right? So, as this has been going on, as this, like, the conversation around this has been going on, man, I've been kind of like just sitting back, you know. I just haven't really said a whole hell of a lot about it. I've just kind of watched the reaction that a lot of folks have been having about this particular thing concerning Jay-Z, concerning Colin Kaepernick, because a lot of this, Colin Kaepernick is the catalyst for a lot of this that's going on with his kneeling demonstrations while he was an NFL player, and subsequently his blackballing from the NFL. A lot of teams have not even given him a look, even though he's continuing to work out. He's making it known that he's available to work out and try out for teams and everything else. He's just not really seeing that level of interest from NFL teams. And it's been a thing now going on 3 years. Right. And so one of the things that I've, you know, just been kind of finding a little bit interesting has been Colin Kaepernick's relative silence on a lot of things right now. So when I say relative silence, and I know Colin Kaepernick, he may come out, he'll say something to a friend like Eric Reed. He responded to a friend, Eric Reed, after Eric Reed made some comments. And I'm going to read a little bit about that. And Eric Reed has had a lot of things to say about this particular deal with Jay-Z and the NFL. His girlfriend, Nessa, has been on social media refuting stories that were made by TMZ about the deal and whether or not Jay-Z consulted with Colin Kaepernick on whether or not this deal was a good idea. And just like kind of listening to how people are responding to this. There's a lot of people that are upset with Jay-Z concerning this particular thing. And okay, hold on just a second. I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting a little message in here. All right. Let me turn that down. Oh, Okay. So yeah. So what's going on with it's been a lot going on with Colin Kaepernick, Jay-Z, the NFL, and the reaction surrounding it. And so one of the things that like I said, I've been really finding interesting has been the backlash to Jay-Z, right? And one of the people, one of his biggest critics right now has been safety Eric Reed. As a matter of fact, we're going to read some of what Eric Reed has had to say about the partnership with Jay-Z and the NFL. He said, and this is coming from Larry Brown Sports. It says, Eric Reed called out the NFL on Twitter over the league's partnership with Jay-Z. Jay-Z Roc Nation Sports formed a partnership with the NFL on entertainment and social justice matters that was announced on Tuesday. Jay-Z will help advise the NFL on music selections for its... Okay, we already read through that. But this is what Eric Reed had to say about this. He says, about people of color by forming... He stated that Colin Kaepernick was not a part of this partnership. About people of color by forming numerous disingenuous partnerships to address social injustice while collectively blackballing Colin, the person who brought the oppression and social justice to the forefront of the NFL platform. Interesting timing on the partnership with Jay-Z on the heels of Stephen Ross' fundraiser for Donald Trump and the backlash his other companies are getting because of it. Pay attention, folks. So, after he posted that... Colin Kaepernick has thanked Eric Reed for his friendship, for his always having his back and everything. And like I said, Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend, Nessa, has said that like Jay-Z hasn't consulted with Colin Kaepernick about anything. Jay-Z didn't talk to Colin Kaepernick about this particular deal and everything else. And the thing that I'm really finding odd about this is that right now, Colin Kaepernick has a bunch of people speaking for him and he's not saying anything for himself. And this is the part where I kind of feel like this is some fill in the blank shit, where Colin Kaepernick right now is like an avatar. And whatever folks' issues are with, like, whether it be Jay-Z or even the NFL, people are filling in the blank for Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick doesn't have to say a goddamn thing because so many people are filling in the blanks for him. And one of the things about this has been the way that the one of the things I've been has been the way that one of the things is just the way people have been filling in the blanks for Colin Kaepernick, right? Like whatever they feel is attributed to this particular movement has been what they're harping on. So and what I mean by that is this: Colin Kaepernick hasn't said anything, and when you talk about, well, what are we exactly fighting for right now? You don't really know, because before it was about when Colin Kaepernick first started kneeling, when he first started, you know, bringing attention to the things that he thought was important, what it was about before was like, yo, police brutality, you know, like bringing attention to the fact that, like, you know, police are actually out here killing, you know, unarmed black people. And we are, they're actively killing black people. No one's being held accountable for it. And I want to bring attention to that. And I'm kneeling in a way to protest what's happening in the black community concerning these issues. Right. And that's initially what the old protest was about. And now it's, Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job in any NFL, right? So, like, the focus of the movement has sort of shifted, so to speak, where it's not even about the social changes that are happening or whether or not the NFL allows for more attention to be paid to these issues, right? Or to allow their players to speak to these issues. It's about Colin Kaepernick not having a job. Right. At least that's how it's being framed by the people who claim to speak for Colin Kaepernick. It's not so much that we can't speak about these police issues. We can't speak about the social injustices that are happening across the country. Right now, our main focus is, yo, Colin, you know, although he spoke about this shit, now he ain't got no job. And I'm wondering, like, how much of this is it still about? Is it still about the fact that police are out here being able to kill people, not be held accountable, get paid leave, the whole nine? Or is this just about Colin Kaepernick not having a job? Or is it both of these things at the same time? And the reason why I'm asking these questions is because I'm hearing from Eric Reed, I'm hearing from Nessa, I'm hearing from all these ancillary people who say they spoke to Colin Kaepernick, and this is the feeling around Colin Kaepernick, all of these sources. Nobody has said, yo, Colin, what the fuck? What is it exactly that we are supposed to be doing? What is it that you want? What are your fucking desires for this entire thing? Because this entire movement has been predicated on the fact that this is what you were demonstrating about, and now it's become, yo, Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job, which is still fucked up. Don't get me fucked up. It's still fucked up that Colin Kaepernick does not have a job in the NFL, right? I think it's fucked up. But here's the other added the shoe to that, right? Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed both got a settlement from the NFL earlier this year, which was celebrated, by the way. Many people were like, yo, Colin Kaepernick, you know, the NFL had to break off that guap. They settled. They signed a non-disclosure agreement. So nobody really, really knows how much money that both Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick got because of that settlement. Some have speculated that it's somewhere around it's around $10 million that they settled for. And then and even with that, I kind of wonder, like, well, I have this line of thinking. If you can get the NFL to settle with you because they don't want all of their shit coming out, you sitting on a lot of leverage. And I don't know if you take that settlement, right? It could have been more than $10 million. I'm just saying what I've been hearing about what they've gotten. I don't know. We don't know because nobody said. You know what I'm saying? The $10 million, you know, total has been kind of bandied about. So we don't really know how much they got. But even still, the fact that the NFL settled with you automatically is like, yo, man, there's a little bit more to this than they're letting on, and they don't want to get out. It's almost like the whole shit with R. Kelly. Same thing with Bill Cosby. Like, you ain't settling with motherfuckers if they ain't got no, ain't no merit to this. You kind of wanted to go away. Hold on just a second. I'm still getting messages here. All right. So you got that whole thing going on. And hold on, because we do got a guest tonight, y'all. Let me pull her in here. All right. So you got that whole thing going on. The NFL settled with Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed. And I'm thinking at that moment, the NFL washed their hands of Colin Kaepernick, right? Like, you took this money. Yeah, we were wrong. But if you take this amount of, if you take this money, we have no more obligations to you, right? That's how I'm looking at that whole thing with the NFL and that settlement that Colin Kaepernick and both Eric Reed took, was the fact that, like, yo, you've taken this money. We're done. Our obligation to you is finished. We owe you nothing, right? So now the NFL and Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed have both taken money from the NFL. And then you got Jay-Z, who has entered into this agreement with the NFL. And folks are mad, and they say, like, well, shit, Jay-Z in is to get bread, right? And so if Jay-Z was in to get bread, I believe that. He stands to make quite a bit of money off of this shit. I do believe that. make no mistakes about it. But at the same time, there's that whole whole adage of you could either have a seat at the table or you're on the menu. And there's a lot of folks who would say that same, who would also like utter that same statement. It's almost become cliche at this point, who would make that same statement, but now they don't want Jay-Z sitting at that NFL table. Hmm. And I'm wondering, like, what exactly do y'all want? What exactly does Colin Kaepernick want? We don't know, because Colin Kaepernick ain't said shit. Is it really just about Colin Kaepernick being back in the league? Or is it about the systemic issue that Colin Kaepernick was bringing forth during his original protest. Because let's truth be told, the protest, nobody really gives a fuck about the protest anymore. You got soccer players kneeling during the national anthem. You've got the Pan Am Games. I don't even know what that sport was for, but somebody was like kneeling during the national anthem for that. Like, and what was it that they were kneeling for? We don't know. And so, like, I'm at a point now with this movement where it's like, okay, what is the end game? Because if Jay-Z moving into a position where he can influence entertainment, but also spearhead social justice initiatives, of which Colin Kaepernick said he was for, then what's the rub? Because here's the other part, man. People have been real quick to call Jay-Z a coon in this particular instance, right? And the minute that this particular agreement had been meted out, folks were shitting on it just off the strength of, yo, Colin ain't back in the league yet. Like, what the fuck is Jay-Z doing over there? Now, truth be told, when I first saw this, I was like, yo, I kind of raised a brow because Jay-Z was out here telling folks like, hey, y'all shouldn't be fucking with the NFL over there for that Super Bowl halftime show, man. Ain't, you know, we standing with Cap. So it does look hypocritical as shit on Jay-Z's part as well. Like, hey, man, y'all shouldn't be fucking with that over there. They need us. As a matter of fact, he said this in a song, like, I don't need y'all. Y'all need me. And to a certain point, they do. This is why they went to him. They could have went to Lawyer Cohen or some shit like that. They could have went to Jimmy Iovine, somebody like that. They didn't go to them. They went to Jay-Z. Because they did need someone of his cachet, of his level of reverence in the community, right? One of the other parts about this is that with Jay-Z is that how quickly we were able to just kind of throw away the social work that Jay-Z and both him and Beyonce have been involved in over the past 10 years. You think about the fact that there are many demonstrators, many protesters that have been locked up, that were bailed out by both Jay-Z and Beyonce. And we really didn't know at the time that they were the ones bailing them out, but they asked us to get out of jail, and they were doing it on the underplay because, you know, folks don't really like when you be out here talking about some, yeah, man, you know, I'm just wondering how to go out, give money to the homeless, you know what I'm saying? Because it looked like you're doing it for everybody's pat on the back. They was doing it on the low. You think about some of the... like, even with some of the rappers that are getting in trouble, Meek Mill, helping get Meek Mill out of jail, getting 21 Savage immigration lawyers, you got people who were locked up over Mother's and Father's Day, getting mothers and fathers out of jail so they could get that time with their kids. Like, you would think he, at some point, would have built up some level of social capital with the community. And they would lend that same benefit of the doubt. We're like, well, shit, he has been doing a little bit more than I have. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of niggas that ain't been out here doing a motherfucking thing who are poo-pooing this move. And so I'm just like, what exactly do y'all want out of this entire thing? Like, is it just about now Colin Kaepernick being in the NFL? And if Colin Kaepernick was to be back in the NFL, is it over for you then? Probably not. Y'all will still have something to talk about when concerning this particular issue, because when it came to CTE, that didn't stop you niggas from watching football. When it came to players beating the shit out of their wives, that didn't stop y'all from watching football. Suddenly it's about this one man getting his job back. And the other interesting thing about this is Eric Reed. For as much as he's talking about Jay-Z getting money from the NFL, he is employed by the fucking NFL. The irony of that. Like, bro, you are taking an NFL check at this moment. Your boy is looking to get back to them NFL checks at this moment. So I'm trying to figure out moving forward, what exactly do people want? Or do they really mean what they say when they want something, right? Or better yet, is it that we don't know what Colin Kaepernick wants, and most of this is about what y'all think Colin Kaepernick wants, and he may want something entirely different and we just don't know because he ain't said shit? It's a whole lot, man. It's a whole lot. But I'm joined by the homie Cook from the Highly Inappropriate Podcast. Say what's up, fam.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Thank you. I'm here.
I had to go, baby. I had to go. I was like, well, I can't wait for her.
I apologize. No, it's my fault. I was late. I was downstairs and my phone was upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I was getting to the chicken or whatever in the kitchen. And someone was like, oh, don't you have something to be doing right now?
Gotcha. No, careful.
Look, that's all on me. That's all on me. It's all on me. It's all on me.
I was sitting here waiting on Cook like,
God damn!
My bad. And then I have the nerve, the black ass nerve to be like, is this on camera? And he's like, yeah. I said, oh, Jesus. I said, let me go comb my weave out. Oh, my gosh. Oh my God. Y'all just don't know. I'm here though. And let me just say, this Jay-Z topic is so complicated. Oh my God. Because, okay, here's the thing. Here are my points. First and foremost, I think that what Jay-Z is quoted as saying is a little callous as far as he really could have said this better, but he made the comment to the effect of, you know, we're past kneeling, we're moving on, we're going to the next step. Right. And it was like, okay, you say that. However, what is the next step for Collins' protest? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of people are hung up on that. This is Collins' protest. Mm-hmm. This is his issue. He started this. No one can pick this up in his name. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure if Jay-Z is saying it's time to mend fences and move on because he's going to be part owner in a team. Or he's saying, you know, let's move on and be more progressive because we can do more if we put a little bit more action to it. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we did a story on The Cook and the Goose where we covered Eric Reed and the settlement. And Eric Reed is still very much still kneeling. Mm-hmm. And while Colin settled, the truth is no one can really explain to me why he's still unemployed and not playing football.
He should definitely be playing.
Yeah, and that's my other question. Is Jay-Z going to hire Colin? You know, I mean, is he going to do that?
So here's the thing, right? Because, again, this is where, like, people are being very knee-jerk in their reactions to this. In that, in the NFL and Jay-Z announcing that they were going to, you know, have this partnership for entertainment and social initiatives and everything else, this is the reason why I kind of brought up some of the things that Jay-Z has been doing socially, is because you would think that the people would give him the benefit of the doubt to say, like, okay, we don't think that Jay-Z would, like, get into this agreement and totally fuck this whole thing off, right?
Yeah. I mean, Hold on.
The other part of that is, this is just the announcement, he hasn't had a chance to do shit yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, they haven't even had a chance to implement any of this thing. It's just like the idea that, like, okay, Colin Kaepernick isn't involved in this. Therefore, Jay-Z has usurped Colin Kaepernick. Jay-Z has helped the NFL to, like, kind of move past this. Like, really, he hasn't. He's put a black face to trying to move forward with this. But I guess the thing that I'm getting hung up on is the fact that you got a lot of people speaking for Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick's ass ain't out here speaking for his goddamn self. And that's the point. That's the crawl in my jaw right now. Is it like, hey man, if this is your shit, you got to stop letting these other motherfuckers speak for you and just articulate what it is exactly that you want. Because there's a whole lot of people out here filling in the blanks for you. And that's why I made the point of, is what he wants what everybody thinks that he wants. And we keep going back. Anytime somebody starts talking about Colin Kaepernick, they say, well, people around Colin Kaepernick's mm-hmm. girlfriend, Eric Reed has said. And then, like, mm-hmm. You know, Colin Kaepernick said, you know, thank you to Eric Reed for, like, having my back and being my friend. And instantly was, yeah, see, Colin Kaepernick, he ain't really fucking with Jay-Z like that. And it was like an instant fuck you to Jay-Z. It was like, wait a minute. That ain't what the man said. He like, hey, man, thanks for having my back, bro. Like, out of everybody that's been like, you know, you've been down from day one. But people take that and they put their own thing to it. And so I'm at a point where I'm just like, hey man, it's been 3 years. You need to say something. You need to say something.
Well, here's the thing. In that regard, yeah, I think Colin should probably just speak to Jay-Z directly. He doesn't even need to speak to me. Mm-hmm. They can handle that one on one. My thing is this. I believe that Eric and Colin have initiatives that he was discussing amongst the Black NFL players that led to, you know, the same group that led to the initial protests.
Yeah.
So he's got a platitude. He's got issues that he's wanting to address. Now, the thing is that, yes, Jay-Z has been working on issues centered around immigration, law, providing, you know, legal services to people, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, he could very well find a way, you know, to kind of help the NFL be involved. But my thing is, and here's the other side to that, I understand why people are, what is the word? Suspicious. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, you know, the NFL has not shown any type of remorse around what they did to Kaepernick or these situations, mm-hmm. In a substantive way. Mm-hmm. They haven't really done anything to kind of signal that, yeah, we care about what you care about and we want to let our players express themselves and things like that. Not, you know, especially when you compare it to the NBA.
Oh, it's not even close.
You see what I'm saying? So my thing is that also too with Jay-Z, it's like, okay, remember, and I think it's safe to say we didn't ask you to do this, bruh. Yeah. Nobody asked you to do that. Nobody asked you to get in league with them. Mm-hmm. Now, you becoming an owner, a majority owner in a team, the optics of that look different. Mm-hmm. Can I say the optics of that? Like, okay. It's okay. An optics thing.
We'll roll with that.
Okay. It's an optics thing. Uh-huh. It kind of looks like, oh, I mean, granted, he put in a $500 million bid. He's going to have a majority ownership. We'll be the first African-American to do that. You know, I'm really not quite sure myself how that's going to translate to social justice and change around police brutality. Also, with the halftime performances, I mean, I feel like the NFL was in a bind and this was a way for them to get out of that bind. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it does serve the NFL. It does serve Jay-Z. I don't quite see how this serves Colin Kaepernick if he is not going to be hired within the next 30 days. Okay. I'm sorry. Like, at some point, the way I see it, somebody needs to hire Colin Kaepernick before I even.
Okay. So, here's the other, because you mentioned Jay-Z possibly becoming a majority owner of a team. And I'm trying to mm-hmm. figure out what fucking team would that be, because they haven't even said that yet. Like, who's he supposed to be buying into? Is it the Jets? Is it the New York Giants? Is it the Carolina Panthers? Like, what team is supposedly Jay-Z apparently supposed to be acquiring? And even if that were so, say Jay-Z does buy a team. Who's to say that Jay-Z isn't the one who says, hey, we need to bring Colin Kaepernick back in the league, give this man a tryout. Give this man, you know, like, but because folks are like already on the sense of like, yo, Jay-Z is a snake ass nigga, and we like did some bullshit. Like, it's like the snap judgments.
These hot takes, man.
I'm like, yo, sit back and just kind of let the shit play out before, like, just kind of jumping out there, because what you may be going out there to jump out there, you might find out like, oh shit, I probably should have shut the fuck up on that one.
Listen, this right here. All I know is if he fuck up, Beyonce is going to have to fight him. Because listen, I'm telling you now, the Hive dictates a lot of this too.
Well, apparently, shout out to the homie Rod, man. The Knee Hive is out here like doing a fucking thing. They thundering these knees down in the ground because, like, again, like the idea of Jay-Z becoming an owner, even that was anathema to someone like Eric Reed. As a matter of fact, I got this video of Eric Reed responding to the news that Jay-Z might become a part owner of an NFL team. Let me see if I can pull this up so we can kind of watch this all together as a family. Hold on a second.
Okay, yeah, I saw some of this. Okay.
Let me pull this up here. All right, and this is coming from the Twitter street. So, all right, here we go.
Jay-Z claimed to be a supporter of Colin. You know, wore his jersey. Told people not to perform at the Super Bowl because of the treatment that the NFL did to Colin. And now he's going to be a part owner. And it's kind of despicable.
He called it despicable.
Yeah, he called it despicable.
I mean... So, okay, here's the thing. Colin could very well be quiet because he could agree with Eric and he just doesn't want to say anything because he doesn't want to make this about anything other than the issue. Mm-hmm. Colin's going to have to issue a statement for me to really understand where he's coming from with this. I do not want to have knee-jerk reactions. I don't want to jump to conclusions. I don't want to assume anything. I want to give everyone involved the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But it the optics around this are not good. I said it.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what exactly is the ass of the movement now. Has the focus of the movement changed since Colin Kaepernick first started kneeling? Is it about the social injustices that Colin Kaepernick was supposed to be bringing attention to, or is it simply about Colin Kaepernick now having a job? Has the movement moved towards that, or is it a combination of the two? And if it's a combination of the two, I get it, but I need to know what the fuck we fighting for. And until we hear from the dude who is at the center of all of this shit, instead of like these, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, these the opinions of people around him, how they feel about it. Hey, man, like, this really ain't about you. Like, Eric Reed, as close as he is to Colin Kaepernick, the shit ain't about you, bruh. It's about Colin Kaepernick. And so right now I'm at a point where I'm like, with this whole movement shit, like, hey, man, what is the ask? Because if I don't know what the fuck I'm fighting for, then why the hell am I still fighting?
See, okay, this really muddies the water in my view, because now it's like we're having this conversation versus, you know, for me, I feel like it's a systemic issue within the NFL.
Okay.
We can talk about, you know, as Stephanie's pointing out here in the comment section, we can talk about their domestic violence initiative. Mm-hmm. We can talk about, you know, their culture of... toxic masculinity. We can talk about a lot of things, but one of the things that sticks out the most is that you have these owners that made these missives and were in league with this racist president, and there was to me, I feel like they overstepped the line. Mm-hmm. In a sense, and letting Jay-Z become part owner, majority owner of a team does nothing for me. Not hiring Colin Kaepernick speaks way more to me than anything. And I think it really does kind of fall back to their actions and what they did. Like, you cannot make this better by bringing Jay-Z in here. And and that's the thing. I don't know Jay-Z's heart. I don't know if he's genuinely just like, fuck it, you know, I'll get a league, but I'm going to have all these demands and they'll, you know, follow it and I'm going to do, you know, my black ass biz. Mm-hmm. Or if he's just, you know, buying it just, you know, to say, okay, I'm here now. Now it's, you know, of some benefit to me to be involved in the NFL. Because, again, I don't need you. You need me. That we don't know, but I don't want to think the worst of the man.
Yeah, and again, I'll just kind of reiterate the point that when it comes to the NFL and Colin Kaepernick specifically, Eric Reid has been given another shot. But I think with Colin Kaepernick particularly, when they entered into that settlement agreement, I think at that particular moment, the NFL felt like they had no obligation to Colin Kaepernick whatsoever anymore. I feel as though had Colin Kaepernick pressed that further, because I really feel like the only reason the NFL settled is because Colin Kaepernick had a very legitimate case to be brought forward. And the NFL had a lot of things that they didn't want coming out. And that is why they settled. Much like I talk about with like people like R. Kelly and Bill Cosby, like they had a lot of shit in the closet. They didn't want coming out. So, hey, why don't we just pay these motherfuckers a little bit of money so they'll shut the fuck up. And so that's how I kind of think the NFL is looking at Colin Kaepernick in this particular moment, because he really hasn't said a whole lot. Maybe the NDA is what's keeping him from speaking. But also, if you know that it's going to muzzle you, do you still take that move? Do you still take that settlement? And that's where I'm like, that's where I'm at like with it right now, where like there may have been missteps. You know, going forward, like we celebrated the fact that he settled with the NFL. We celebrated the fact that he got that endorsement deal with Nike. We forget that Nike is also like a big Trump supporter too. Like Trump, like Phil Knight gives a lot of money to Republicans all the time. He's so like they're still the strange bedfellows. You know what I'm saying? But I think when the NFL and Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid reached that settlement, Colin Kaepernick was the one with the scarlet letter on him because he was the first one to start this. But also, it was okay, we've settled with you. Our obligation here is done. And so we don't owe you a tryout. We don't owe you a workout. We don't owe you a fucking thing. We've paid this settlement. Good day to you, sir. And I think that's what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. And so... The thing with Jay-Z is, like I said, like with all of the things over the last few years that Jay-Z and Beyonce have been involved in when it comes to the social justice movement, I think it's a little quick. We're a little quick to say, hey, man, like you shouldn't do this without first letting him actually put the plan in motion to see what's actually going to happen, right? To see what they have in store for the social justice aspect of how the NFL gets involved in that. How much of the players are going to be involved in speaking to the issues that they think is important and not being penalized for doing so? How much of Jay-Z's influence can affect that? Like, how much can we expect for, performers to be able to perform and not necessarily be penalized for incorporating some sort of social justice message within their performance? We don't know because we haven't seen it. And so I'm just of the mindset of like, okay, I'm gonna sit back and I'm gonna wait. You know what I'm saying? But the reaction to this and how quickly like the people are just like, yo, man, nah, fuck this. Jay-Z on some bullshit. He done stole this. and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, hold up. Like, do y'all even know what Colin Kaepernick wants? Because Colin Kaepernick hasn't said shit. And how much of this is about what y'all think he wants as opposed to what you want and what he wants? And that's where I'm at. Like, a lot of this is people projecting their own wants onto this. And that's why I call this episode Fill in the Blank Activism. Because it's like everybody's filling in their own blanks. And Colin Kaepernick, the person who spearheaded this whole thing, hasn't said a fucking thing in almost 2 years. And the last time we heard from Colin Kaepernick on out of his own mouth was the fact that he didn't vote in 2016. And so that was another issue. That was another issue that I wanted to kind of talk about, because there's a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to this, right? So I'm gonna read this article. This comes out of ESPN.com. This actually was around the time when he said he didn't vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. He said, "Ask Tuesday, While he opted not to cast a vote for measures beyond the choice of president, Kaepernick offered a familiar response in taking aim at the system and stating his belief that voting isn't the only way to make a difference. I thought a lot of different things about the process and what I could and couldn't do. Once again, the system of oppression is what I have an issue with. There's more than one way to create change. Mm-hmm. Now, that particular statement right there is what I thought was interesting in this particular moment, because right now our focus is, yo, well, why is it Colin included in this? And Jay-Z, him and Jay-Z were essentially saying the same thing. Okay, Colin was doing the kneeling. We have other ways to do, we have other ways to move this movement forward. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet Colin was like, he was adamant in the fact that, yo, I'm not voting. He thought Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were two sides of the same coin. I mean, we 3 years later know that damn well ain't the fucking truth. And here we are with Jay-Z, and we're looking at Jay-Z like, well, what the fuck are you doing? When many of us were looking at Colin Kaepernick this exact same way 3 years ago. So, like, the hypocrisy of it, and I think this is part of the reason why Colin Kaepernick really doesn't speak a lot on his own. I don't know if it's a thing of where he doesn't feel like he can articulate his points effectively, or if he just hasn't really thought it all the way through yet. We don't know. But the problem that I'm having with a lot of the reaction to this is the fact that Colin Kaepernick, the catalyst of this entire thing, has said very fucking little. We're hearing a whole hell of a lot from the people around Colin, not himself. And it's like, okay, yeah, Nessa said this. Eric Reed said this. Hey, I want to hear from the man. I need to hear from the man, because this is really who it's about. And
yeah,
that's pretty much where I'm at with it. And I get it. Like I said, with Jay-Z coming out telling folks not to go ahead and participate in the Super Bowl, we standing with Cap and everything, it looks bad, because you were the one. You were the one telling people not to fuck with them. So I get it to a certain degree. Like, you were the one that told everybody, like, hey man, we ain't fucking with them over there because of this. But at the same time, it's like, we got to figure out how do we progress this? How do we move this forward? How do we move these issues forward? And if Jay-Z can somehow get the NFL to help players address certain social justice issues and give them the platform to do so, where they don't feel like they're going to be penalized for doing so, I'm for that. But we need to see it actually happen. If it doesn't happen, then we got all the room in the world to say, fuck Jay-Z. But I think before it happens, before we even given an opportunity to put the plan in place, I think it's a little short-sighted to just be like, you know, fuck this guy right off rip. That's just kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was our motherfucking news, y'all, because I told you that was the only thing I was going to talk about in the news this week.
I mean, it's honestly, I felt discombobulated, thrown off. I didn't know which was up or down. I didn't know what was right or wrong, right or left. I didn't know. I just didn't know. I did not know.
I had the luxury of sitting back, and that's what I think it really was. I think, because when I first saw this, the first thing I did when I posted it on Facebook was I asked folks, how are y'all feeling about this? You know what I'm saying? And then, like, I just started seeing waves and waves of reactions all over social media surrounding this issue. And then on top of that, seeing some of the black publications like News One, The Root, Jamil Hill in The Atlantic, some of the Roland Martin Unfiltered, like seeing some of the reactions to it. And like, most of it has been largely negative, because I think a lot of this is surrounding the fact that like Colin Kaepernick is not in the NFL. And I'm just confused as to, okay, is that now the barometer of where the movement is whether or not Colin Kaepernick is in the NFL? Because I was under the impression that the movement was surrounding the fact that like there was the social justice movement around police brutality and communities of color. So that's where I was like, yo, what are we exactly fighting for? Is it just for Colin to have a job right now? If that's what the move is, then let a nigga know. Is it you know, the fight for social justice in America? If that's the move, let a nigga know. Is it both? Because it doesn't have to be, you know, one or the other. It could be both. And so when you start seeing the reactions to how people are talking about Colin Kaepernick's approval, like, do you have, like, that's the other part about this. Like, has Colin Kaepernick gained Godfather status? Because it's like, So does anybody who wants to do business in the NFL and they black have to get the approval of Colin Kaepernick to do so? Is that how we move it?
I don't know.
these are the questions that I have, because that's, you know, again,
I know I still have a lot more questions myself. Yeah,
these are the questions that I have about it, because there's so many people in the reactions to it, like, well, fuck it, if Colin ain't down with it, then I ain't down with it. I'm like, okay, I hear you, but like, what exactly are you fighting for in this particular moment? Is it only because Colin doesn't have a job right now? If Colin was playing for the goddamn Green Bay Packers right now and Jay-Z still makes his move, are you still as upset? Probably not. But I need to know exactly what the move is. What exactly the movement is moving towards, if I'm going to continue to fight for it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, truth be told, man, like, I felt like this when he took the settlement, that he probably was never going to see an NFL job again. And it's been 3 years since he's played NFL football. It's going to get to a point where he's not going to be able to get back into the league age-wise. Or skill wise, you know, he's not able to keep his skills sharp against NFL competition. What are you gonna do then? Like, have you banished it forever? Like, if he announces his retirement, is your boycott over? Like, I just, you know, what exactly are we moving towards? Is the question that I have for a lot of folks.
I just saw so there. Okay. I believe that there's going to be more information coming in the next coming days. But I feel like because we are still asking these questions, I don't know if they're going to be addressed. I need to see how this plays out once again. I got to see how it plays out. But I'm seeing that there was a discussion with Jay-Z and Charlamagne the God was there.
Yeah.
So I've yet to watch this and finish reading his full comments, but...
So is this a video? Because it's got a play button on it. I know.
Yeah, it's a video.
Okay, let me pull this up so everybody here can watch it. Let me share this with you guys. All right. Here we go.
I think the biggest issue people have is they want to know how you could
ultimately turn it up.
Justice.
Turn it up.
When Colin Kaepernick, who brought it to the attention of the masses by peacefully protesting against the
social justice, not turn my son.
It's a lot of a job.
That's a great question. I think we forget that Colin's whole thing was to bring attention to social injustice, correct? So in that case, right, this is a success, right? This is the next thing, right? Because there's two parts of protesting. You go outside and you protest, and then the company or the individual say, I hear you. What do we do next? Right? So for me, it was like action, actionable item. What are we going to do with it? Like, everyone heard and we hear what you're saying, and everybody know I agree with what you're saying. So what are we going to do?
Why don't you bring him into this initiative? Do you plan to involve him?
You would have to ask him. I'm not his.
I think the biggest issue people have is they want to know how you could partner with a league on social.
All right, so it's going to replay, but I couldn't control the audio on that video. They don't have like audio controls on Instagram, which is dumb.
But one of the things Charlamagne asked straight up to Roger Goodell was Colin blackballed, and he was like, "No,
yeah.
Teams sign him whenever they want to," and it's like, bro, why haven't they? you got some bum ass teams across the league that really could have used a Kaepernick on your squad, and you didn't sign him.
Yeah.
You signed like motherfucking the janitor from Bullock Elementary.
They brought Jay Cutler out of retirement. He was going into the broadcast booth. They brought him out of retirement. I believe he started playing for the Miami Dolphins at a certain point. There was a time where the Seattle Seahawks were said to have been interested in Colin Kaepernick, and I think, you know, a lot of folks have faulted his girlfriend for him not being able to finalize that deal. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but
how's that her fault? What'd she do?
I think it may have been like she spoke out before anything was actually done, and so when she spoke out, you know, that gave the other side of this equation time to like say, hey, we don't want this guy on our team, right? So that's the other part about this too. This is the other part about this. Because, you know, we talk about the NFL and their numbers being down from boycotts and everything else. There were boycotts on both sides of this. There was people who were there were people on the Colin Kaepernick side of this who were boycotting the NFL because they felt that Colin Kaepernick was being mistreated by the league because of his stance and because of his silent. Like, you had those folks, right? I'm not watching until Colin Kaepernick get a job. Then you had the other side of that, the Trump supporters of America, who decided, like, yo, you guys bringing all this goddamn politics into my fucking football, man. I just kind of want to watch the game. And you're bringing this shit. I don't want to hear about this shit. These sons of bitches. Like, you got those folks, right? Both of those people, both sets, are taking credit for the fact that the NFL had suffering numbers for as far as ratings are concerned, right? So both sides are taking credit for the exact same thing. They're both on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're both taking credit for the same thing. And so what word was his girlfriend at the time, well, I think she's still his girlfriend, Nessa, she started speaking out about him possibly signing with the Seattle Seahawks, and then there was backlash about him possibly signing with the Seattle Seahawks, and then they kind of backed away from it. And I think that's why people were saying that she was the reason why he doesn't have that job. I don't necessarily believe that. I think that if they were going to sign him, they very well should have fucking signed him. But again, like, when it comes to this movement, I just need to know what the ask is. And right now, we don't know what the ask is.
And that was what Jay-Z was saying in the video. He was just like, okay, we you got our attention. We're aware of the issue. We agree with what you're saying. And he was like, what's next? And I think people are always going to question whether or not he had the right to address the what's next.
Well, okay, so if it's not Colin Kaepernick, then no one else can do it?
I don't know. I mean...
And that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we folks are so worked up to say how wrong this is. And Jay-Z is a snake. And Jay-Z done stole this movement from Colin Kaepernick. You're like, hey, bro, like, Colin Kaepernick is a grown-ass man, a multimillionaire grown-ass man who should be able to kind of speak for himself. Now, I don't know how much of this is concerning the NDA that he signed for that settlement. Don't know. But if that's going to keep you from speaking out about what you want going forward, then I don't know if you should sign that settlement deal. I think you maybe should take that shit to trial. If I don't know. Again, I don't know. I'm not in those rooms. But I'm just kind of feeling like, yo, man, maybe he handicapped or kneecapped himself when he signed on for that settlement. And again, we all celebrated that settlement because, like, yo, he took it to the NFL. He made the NFL surrender. There was a lot of folks who had, the NFL had to come off that guap for fucking with Cap, this, that, and the other. And yet and still, okay, so we gave you your money. We settled with you. We said we had some fault, but we ain't got to give you no league. We ain't got to give you no roster spot. That deal is done with that settlement. And it's been done, I think, pretty much with that settlement. The NFL was like, all right, this is done. What do we need to do going forward? So Colin Kaepernick starts a movement. The movement has kind of moved beyond it's kind of moved beyond him. You know, like, that's pretty much where it kind of is. It's like the movement itself has kind of moved beyond him. But, like, people like Colin Kaepernick has now just become like this symbol that people can point to. And low key, like, I think to a certain degree, like, low key, like, Colin Kaepernick is cool with, like, everybody still just, like, cooking the NFL, and he doesn't have to say shit. Like, that's where it's at for Colin right now. Colin is in this spot where, like, I ain't gotta say a motherfucking thing. Like, everybody just cooking these niggas right now, and who am I to stop it? These niggas won't give me a job. But in the meantime, like, people are just kind of attributing Colin Kaepernick and filling in the blanks for themselves. And meanwhile, we don't know exactly what the hell Colin Kaepernick wants. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man. That's the news, y'all.
Ta-da!
All right. Oh, man. That was a lot, man. Almost an hour on just the news, man. It's gonna be a long ass motherfucking show, y'all. Just
no, that, but no, that, listen.
It's a lot.
I have I still have questions. The questions are still unanswered. And it's not going to, I'm not going to be satisfied. Like I said, for me personally, I will not be satisfied until Colin Kaepernick is playing on a team.
I think a lot of folks feel the exact same way you do. I think Colin Kaepernick
continuing to kneel.
I think he definitely deserves a job. But I also believe that we do need to kind of take a step back, let this situation play itself out before like jumping all over it to say how fucked up it is before we even see any like fruits of it, or if there are no fruits to be like reaped from this. You know, I just kind of feel like we need to just kind of like take a step back, see what happens, and if the NFL and Jay-Z fuck up, get on their ass the way that we on their ass right now. But it's kind of early in the game for us to like just be so heavy and so hard with the reaction, as opposed to what exactly could this mean going forward, because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's time for our next segment. We're going into Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here? Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
All right, our first story here in Blue Blazers is actually a story in entitlement. Apparently some young little motherfucker got a BMW from his parents.
Oh boy.
And what does this little motherfucker do? He took that goddamn BMW, pushed it in the fucking river because he wanted a goddamn Jaguar. All right, we're reading this story. This here actually comes out of Fox News, so take it with a grain of salt. But says a young driver allegedly pushed into a river. Pushed into this river. Wait, blah, blah, blah. A young driver allegedly pushed into a river this BMW he got from his parents because he wanted a Jaguar. The man, named locally only as Akash, is allegedly to have pushed the brand new car after he got upset it was too small for him and his pals. The video shows the car sinking beneath the water in Yamunanagar, Haryana state in northern India. It had to be pulled out using a crane. Local said that he jumped out of the vehicle just before it reached deeper water and onlookers helped him to safety. The police official said the youth was arrogant and kept insisting that he be given a Jaguar as a BMW is too small for him and his friends inside. We would do a preliminary investigation, but this seems to be a personal matter. We will proceed according to the law. The boy's father said, I wanted to give my son a birthday present. We could only afford to give him a BMW, while he kept insisting that he be given a Jaguar. He said the vehicle was too small, but we thought he would be okay. We never imagined he would do anything like this. So I'm going to just tell y'all right now, if this was my son, in the arms of the angel, y'all be like at this boy's services right now.
Let me tell you something. I would have put that motherfucker in the river with that car.
Listen.
I wish my child would. I wish it would.
Listen. Listen, I was talking to my wife earlier about this shit here. I said, listen, we no longer have a son, baby. hey, those clothes you got on your back, I bought those, didn't I? Take that shit off. Mm-hmm. You got a little job, don't you? Oh, you don't have a job. Damn.
Sounds rough. Sounds fucking rough.
So take my drawers off. Take my drawers.
Everything.
Get the fuck out. Nah, man, come on, man. But, you know, you talk about entitlement, bro. Like, I didn't have a car as a teenager at all. My mama couldn't afford to get me no motherfucking car, man. Like, I was driving her whip. It was like a 19. Let's see. Okay, let's run through the whips that mama had. We had a 84 Lincoln Town car. It was like Carolina Blue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when she got that car too. I'm only counting the cars from when I was like of driving age and shit. Like, it was Carolina Blue. I remember asking her, cause she bragged to me that she was getting a Lincoln when she got the Lincoln. She didn't tell me what year the motherfucker was. The only thing I was concerned about, like, did the bitch have a tape deck? I could plug in my little CD player with the tape deck in there. I was like, yeah. And then we got it and it was like AM FM. She's like, but it got leather seats and power windows. I'm like, man, I don't care nothing about it. But yeah, it was that. Then we had like a Ford LTD, a burgundy Ford LTD. And then we had like an 89 Pontiac Grand Prix. Yeah, man. But none of them motherfuckers was mine.
None of them
was mine. I could drive them, you know, if she needed me to go do something. Like, hey, boy, go to the store real quick for me. I'm like, all right, mama. You know, when you're 16 and you're a fresh driver, you want every excuse to get behind the wheel. The audacity to say, like, yo, I want a Jaguar, but they only got me a BMW. Nigga. So, that little boy had a...
Oh, brother. Whoa.
A lot of fucking nerve.
Too much dip on his chip, man, because ain't no way in hell he'd have been able to come back home talking about some. So, yeah, that fucking that fucking BMW you got me, I threw it in a fucking river. You should have got me a Jaguar, asshole. Like, nah, man. Can't be a thing. Couldn't have been my son. We'd be going to his funeral services right now. Your man's man would be locked up. I'm sorry. I didn't lock my ass up, man, because ain't no way in hell. You did what? Are you fucking kidding me? So yeah, that's in Blue Blazers, y'all. The other story that we got in Blue Blazers. So I heard this story, man, and I could not fucking believe what the hell I would. Wait. Yeah, here we go. So there was a white man who was arrested spitting in the face of a sister.
Oh boy, this one right here.
But the reason why he spit in the face was because he refused to partake in slavery role play sex that she motherfucking requested. All right, we're reading this story here out of hellobeautiful.com. It says a Florida white man has been arrested for allegedly spitting on his black girlfriend's face after he refused to partake in slave role play during a recent sexual encounter. According to the New York Daily News, Tampa police arrived at the home of Kenneth Atkins and Ashley Edwards after the two got into a heated argument about him not wanting to pretend to be her slave master during sex. Ashley stated that she wanted to play slave and slaver because she was African-American and he is Caucasian, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office report. Added that Kenneth did not wish to partake and become verbally aggressive. As the fight escalated, Atkins spat in Ashley's face, a police report stated. While Atkins, who has a criminal history including theft, told police that the argument did not get physical, police arrested him anyway and charged him with misdemeanor battery. Edwards refused to give a statement to police about the incident, citing she didn't want Atkins to be arrested. Atkins was released from jail shortly after being arrested for the August 6th fight, but will be arraigned in court on September 8th. So what exactly is race play or slave role play when it comes to the bedroom? Apparently it's a part of a culture of BDSM, where partners of different races, in this case black and white, use racial stereotypes or the history of racism in this country to play out sexual fantasies. The type of role play fetish Edwards wanted to partake in with her boyfriend used slavery as an entry point to play out these fantasies. Listen, man. There was this picture of this lady. Let me see if I can.
Oh, you should smack the shit out of me.
Let me see if I can pull the picture up, because I had this picture. They don't have it on here. God damn. Anyway,
I'm defining my style.
Anyway, like she had like this blue eyeshadow. And you remember that lady on the Drew Carey show with all the makeup?
Me? Me?
Oh man!
Sorry.
When I saw the makeup, I'm like, you know what? Makes sense. Makes sense that she would be into that kind of shit. Listen, like when I first saw this story. When I first saw it, I was like, nah, yeah. Lock his punk ass up. He's spitting in the face of a sister, this, that, and the other. And then you find out that she was the one requesting to be the slave. And that, like, she wanted that. Like, oh, come on, man, come on. You the motherfuckers that be giving Tariq Nasheed shit to talk about, B. Come on, don't do this, baby. You ain't got to be out here like that. Come on, man. But he out here like, yo, being all upstanding and integritable and shit. And integritable ain't even a fucking word, but I just made that shit up. Integritable. Ain't even a word. This motherfucker out here being integritable and shit. And I'm like, hey, now listen, goddammit. I don't want to do this. This don't feel right. No, because it'll come out in the news and I don't need that. I don't need them problems. I already got charges. You know what I'm saying? Like, I already got charged. I don't need these problems. So, yeah, man. That's sad, man. That's sad. Now, you got to think about this, too, now. Like, so she got to go back home. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. And her people are going to be looking like, girl, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I want to know what her big mama got to say.
Man, big mama, Auntie Irma. You know what I'm saying?
I want to know what they got to say about, like, do you know she out here wilding like this with the white man?
Auntie Florence over there like, bitch, what is wrong with you? We didn't
you
raise
you. You white man do that stuff to you? Oh, hell no. She could I'll be like, you can't come to Thanksgiving.
Auntie Johnny made like, nah, you can't make no more motherfucking potato salad. No, no. God damn it, you liable to put raisins in the shit. Now I don't trust you for nothing now.
You ain't drinking out of my good cups. Get her the big cup.
Get her the styrofoam cups from now on.
You ain't off my silverware either.
Oh shit. So that's in Blue Blazers, y'all. We got another story here at Blue Blazers. This is some Detroit shit here, man. This is some Detroit shit here. Not even gonna lie. So check this out. Some nigga went to a suburb of Detroit called Warren. Robbed a couple banks, right? Mm-hmm. Went to the casinos in Detroit with the bank money that he stole. Got him some more money. He won some more money. Mm. Police caught up with his ass. This nigga asked him, could he keep the money that he won at the goddamn casino?
Listen, I don't think he's wrong. I don't think he's wrong, personally. No, I won that money. I won that money, fair and square. So, excuse me.
Oh man,
I won that money. No, 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 no. He right. He ain't wrong. I'm sorry. I stand with this nigga. He ain't wrong.
So we gonna read the story.
I get it.
We're going to read out of Fox2Detroit.com. It says, Warren police said one man was arrested earlier this week for bank robberies in Warren and Oak Park. When arrested, the police chief said he asked if he could keep the money that he won from gambling at the casino. The two bank robberies both happened Tuesday, one at Citizens Bank on Van Dyke and Warren, and the other at Comerica near 10 Mile and Coolidge. According to police, the Warren robbery happened just about after 9:15 Friday. Suspect walked in, asked about opening an account, and then produced a note saying that it was a robbery. The clerk handed over the money, and then he left. It was determined that the teller's drawer was short, $1,222. The suspect was described as a black man, 25 to 35 years old, 5'10", or 6 foot, well, between 5'10 and 6 foot one, 160 to 170 pounds. Whew, glad I don't fit that demographic no more. They're gonna put on some weight. Wearing a black sweatshirt and a white with white stripes, they also said he drove off in a silver Cadillac DTS. Oh, he had the pimp mobile. Not just Cadillac, the DTS. You know what I'm saying? You only see pimps and old niggas in those motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? A few hours later, around 3:15, Oak Park reported the bank robbery at Comerica. The suspect entered the bank. He said he wanted to open an account, gave a note saying it was a robbery, and then left in a silver Cadillac DTS. Though the investigation, Warren police identified the suspect in both robberies as Dorian Sykes, 35. Investigators said his car is the same as described in the crimes and has prior federal convictions for bank robbery and gun crimes. It says Sykes served almost 15 years in federal prison. He was eventually found in Motor City Casino the next day. According to Police Chief Bill Dwyer, he gambled the money he took in the robbery and even asked police if he could keep the money he had won from gambling that money. During the interview with Warren, detectives and FBI officials said he confessed to the robberies. The FBI will handle the prosecution of the crimes, and Sykes has prior convictions in the federal system and is currently on federal parole. So,
let me tell you something. They would have to prove that the money I stole from the bank was the money I used at that casino. You know, I'll wait.
You know what, though, that I'm finding, like, kind of interesting? Like, so, apparently, you don't even need guns to rob banks no more. Like, these niggas just be going in here with notes. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, this is a robbery. And the teller's just like, all right, nigga. Just hands over
$1,222. So, a guy actually robbed a bank handing over a note, except he used a notice from the DMV with his address and on it. So...
Surprised at how easy it is to rob banks. I mean, I'm just surprised at how easy it is to rob banks now. I mean, they got the bulletproof glass and all of this shit, and even still, like, nigga just pass a note like, hey man, give me the money. All right. They just hand the shit over. And I get it, like, nigga, this ain't my money. This shit is FDIC insured. I ain't got to worry about this shit. Y'all money is good. So they probably got that attitude with it, but yeah, man, that shit's crazy. But that has been motherfucking Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Let me tell you something.
Just say blue blazes.
So check this out. Check this out. We got a segment that we haven't done in quite some time. I think, as a matter of fact, the last time we did this segment, you was on the show.
Okay.
I believe so. I believe the last time we did this, you was on the show. And we got our special HOTEP unit.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
In the young right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories.
So, Tariq Nasheed is in special HOTEP unit news this week. Because apparently, this nigga is banned in the United Kingdom from ever entering this entering the country as he was on his like press tour for Hidden Colors 5. We're going to read this story here. This comes out of SandraRose.com. It says that Tariq Nasheed was banned from entering the United Kingdom where he planned to screen his new movie Hidden Colors 5. The self-professed race baiter learned he was denied entry by the UK government when he tried to board a plane to England at LAX airport last week. The popular social media activist... He's an activist now? So we just kind of throw that activist thing. Announced the news in a video on his Instagram page. I just found out we're on our way to the UK. I'm banned from going to the UK, he said. They're not letting me into the UK to show Hidden Colors. They have banned me from coming into the UK. The UK government, via email, informed Nasheed that his name was on the list of people who are banned from entering the country by air or by sea. They just sent an email denying me...
Sorry.
That nigga can't take a cruise then either.
That nigga can't even float that bitch. Oh wow, that's funny. That is a thorough list.
You
cannot come.
Not exactly, because I mean, think about it. He could fly to another European nation and then just like take a train into there, and he'd be good.
But they said no, pretty much they were like, no form. Like, they were like planes, trains, automobiles, and boats. Bitch, like, no.
It was obviously like, get here if you can. Like, no.
Oh, man.
He said they just sent an email denying me to even enter the UK. I called the UK government to find out the particular reason, and the official on the phone told me the memo said Tariq Nasheed is not conducive to the good of the public of the UK. Well, goddamn it, at least somebody recognizes this nigga is a goddamn charlatan. Many countries maintain lists of suspected terrorists and other undesirables, including rappers who are banned from entering the country. Nasheed is well known for his anti-racist, pro-black, anti-establishment platform on social media. They forgot to say anti-woman and anti-black woman. And they forgot all of that. But it may be his anti-LGBTQ views that prompted the UK to add his name to the no-fly list. The UK, like most of Europe, have the most liberal pro-LGBT laws in the world. The UK government is currently considering giving free access to expensive IVF procedures for childless lesbians. So, low-key, for somebody like Tariq Nasheed, I think he plays this up quite a bit. Because it kind of burnishes his his reputation amongst those who believe that black men are the most discriminated against people in the world. Never mind like his rhetoric. I think he plays this up. It's almost like when people say something should be forbidden to you and people want it more because it's forbidden. Kind of like that Deep Throat movie and shit. Like, everybody was going to see Deep Throat back in the day and shit because it was like, you're not supposed to go see this. I'm like, well, shit, now I want to see it. I think he plays this up quite a bit now. And it burnishes his reputation with the HOTEPs. So, I just thought that was fucking funny, man. Like,
I'm glad. I feel like he is on the list with Kodak Black. And it just is fitting. I feel like Kodak Black will be banned from entering the UK. You know, some niggas are banned from entering into Canada, too. So, you know, good on them.
Oh, there's video of this. Hold on a second. Let me see if we can play some of this.
Oh, shit.
There's a little video. Hold on. Let's pull that up. Watch this as a family. Here we go.
Okay. The U.S. or U.K.? Okay. Bye-bye.
keys on the song.
Oh, the UK government that you're entering.
The UK government denied my entry. Wow. They didn't give a reason why. They just said.
That's all she gave me right now.
Okay. 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 All right.
All right. But yeah.
What I call the.
They're not advising us.
Yeah. The UK government, the and then they just gave us this.
Okay.
We're at LAX right now, working out our travel plans. I just found out we're on our way to the UK. I am banned from going to the UK. They are not letting me into the UK to show
papers.
They have banned me from coming into the UK.
You ain't about to say shit
they
when you get there.
Sent the airport, the UK government sent the airport this letter to not allow me on a flight to the UK. I cannot go to the UK. And they told me, the government said that one of the reasons is that I'm not conducive to the public good of the UK.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so
I'm laughing at that dude on the phone, like he got the call, like right there, like yeah. So I just got the phone with AppleCare, and you're not going to be able to come in.
So here's what I thought was interesting about that: that memo looked that shit looked like something you print out in fucking Microsoft Art. Like it didn't look legit. It looked like some shit he might have just like typed off. It was no official government seal on that fucker or nothing. Just like some paperwork. There's like it just like a sheet of white paper that just said, yeah, such and such, such and such. I saw a phone number. But it didn't look like it was any official like official documentation of anything from the UK government. So now I'm wondering whether or not
I feel like the truth is he can't travel because he can't get a passport because he owes child support.
Oh, see?
I mean, let's just drop that there.
I'm sorry.
That letter, you're right. That looked janky as
that,
fuck.
That letter didn't look official at all. That letter just looked like some shit he might have typed.
All interaction. That letter, for real, there was another letter. It was from child support. And that's all that's about.
No, like they called the gate agent. Like they at the gate. Like they called the gate agent. Like, yeah, the UK government called the gate agent. Like, I used to work at airport, man. I used to be a baggage handler, man. Like the gate agent ain't taking them phone calls, bro. Like that ain't how that works. Now I'm just like, this nigga is continuously on the grift. This nigga stays on the grift. Like, yo, I really need the burnishes. Like we need to make Hidden Colors 5 popping. So if I can create some controversy around the fact that the UK government ain't letting me in to go show this movie, then like, yo, people will really buy this shit up. Like, okay, now I see the game now. Now I'm just like, okay, yeah, more the same. More the motherfucker same. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tariq Nasheed, special HOTEP unit. I think that nigga's like lieutenant. Man,
Lieutenant, detective, sergeant.
Because Cragen was captain. So I'm gonna put Umar Johnson as captain of the special HOTEP unit because he's so prolific. But but like Umar Johnson is like Tutuola. You know what I'm saying? Like Umar Johnson is like the Tutuola of the special HOTEP unit, man. That's how we gonna rank him. You know, the nigga always in Gucci or some shit like that, trying to like, and he used to be a pimp, you know, that kind of side of shit. So yeah, that has been motherfucking special HOTEP unit. It's time for us to get on the body of that. But all right, we got three stories left. It's proud to be an American time, y'all. All right, that's enough of that goddamn Proud to Be an American shit. our first story here in Proud to Be an American is another Michigan story, y'all. We've been on some bullshit here in Michigan, man. Not gonna lie, outside of Detroit, man, it's real motherfucking reddish in this state, man. So check this out. A couple was searching for a house to buy in Muskegon, Michigan. And the house just so happened to be owned by a Muskegon, Michigan Police Department officer. Apparently, they found KKK memorabilia and Confederate flags all over that motherfucker. And yeah, it's a problem. But there's more. Since this story done broke, this couple, this black couple, has been receiving death threats. All right? So we're gonna read this story here. This comes out of NBCNews.com. It says, Muskegon police officer Charles Anderson has been placed on leave pending an investigation into the couple's claims, the police department said. A white police officer in Western Michigan has been placed on administrative leave after a prospective homebuyer said he saw a framed Ku Klux Klan application and multiple Confederate flags in his house. The Muskegon Police Department announced August 8th it had opened an internal investigation after a social media post was brought to its attention, accusing the officer, Charles Anderson, of being in possession of certain items associated with a white supremacy group. Which one, the police or the KKK? I'm trying to figure this out. The veteran officer... The veteran officer was immediately placed on administrative leave, according to the department. The man behind the post, Robert Mathis, who is black, has subsequently received death threats. Mathis posted a picture of the KKK document on Facebook on August 7th after touring Anderson's home with his wife, Raina, their two children, and a realtor. Raina and Robert Mathis said they saw the application and several Confederate flags in the house that is for sale in Houghton Township, about 20 miles northeast of Muskegon. The couple believed that they were in the home of a police officer because they also saw a police jacket and a photo of an officer in uniform. My emotions were all over the place. I felt anger, sadness, and shame. Raina Mathis, 42, who was Hispanic, told NBC News on Tuesday. Our realtor, who was white, even cried. She just kept apologizing. It was just sitting there on the wall as if it was a prized possession of some sort. Her husband, who spotted the document first, was so upset that he fled the residence. Mathis, 52, a U.S. Army veteran, said he was exposed to some racial things in the military, but that he dealt with it. As an adult dealing with this stuff with my family, it just slapped me in the face so hard, he said. So, one of the things about this is that, of course, like, I saw this on Facebook, on the local news shit, and I will say this, I've said this before, I will say this again, the comment section of any news site or their Facebook page is a cesspool of America. Because that's where you find out exactly how ugly America is. And so a lot of the responses that I saw from white folks here in the comment sections on Facebook on this news station was, well, maybe he was a history buff. You know, like the Confederate flag is a part of American history. You know, the Ku Klux Klan is a part of American history. Maybe he was just collecting things historical, you know, historical things. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, he historically racist, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Who keeps a framed KKK application? You know what I'm saying? And not only that, like, okay, so if you're a white man in America and a KKK, you put in an application to the KKK.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm trying to figure out, like, how does that go? Like, when
you have to apply, so you cannot be an accidental member,
Not only that, like, so, how do you move around in white circles if they find out that you were rejected for the KKK?
You get rejected to the KKK? You're just not racist enough?
You're too friendly with Negroes, boy. I don't know. Like, you let that black man cut your grass? How much are you paying him?
They found out that one time in high school, he shared an apple with the black guy.
Hey, you like black girls? I see you looking at her ass there. I know there's plenty of ass there. Now, I know Sarah doesn't have the amount of ass that black girl over there has. But you were staring a little bit too hard there, boy. And I don't know if we can accept you in our ranks. And I think it's about time you get the fuck on up out of here before we do you like we do these niggers. You know, like, A framed one?
He framed that shit.
He framed it? Like, but, you know, again, when it comes to white people with race in America, like, they're so in fucking denial that, like, they would attribute this. They tried to attribute this to this motherfucker being a history buff. It is like, are you fucking insane? Are you insane, man? So, yeah. Sucks that black family had to deal with that. The other part that I wonder about this is like, yo, so the realtor didn't, like, talk to the police officer about staging or anything when it came to this house? Like, hey, so we're going to be showing this house to quite a few different people. If you want some money for this house, you might want to put this shit up. I'm just saying, it would be conducive for all of us. You get your house sold and I get my commission. But you might want to put this shit away. Meanwhile, she out here crying crocodile tears in front of this couple of color, man. Some bullshit.
That was fucked up.
Yeah, some bullshit. But that's proud to be an American, man, because that shit only, well, it doesn't only happen here, but you know what I mean. Another story that I want to talk about, and this is also proud to be an American. Apparently, police violence is deemed to be the leading cause of death of black men in motherfucking America.
You don't say.
Yeah, man. So according to, let's see, this actually comes out of the GRIO. It says, according to a new study on life expectancy and mortality within the nation, researchers found that excessive force by police officers, which fatally is now the sixth highest cause of death for males between the ages of 25 to 29. According to the USA Today, the study conducted by researchers at Rutgers University also found that black men are 2.5 times more likely than white men to be fatally injured by law enforcement officers over the course of their life. It also revealed that African-American women, American Indian and Alaskan Native men and women, and Latino men also face noticeably greater risk of dying at the hands of police. You know, the shit that Colin Kaepernick was originally protesting. Statistics for the study were pulled from the National Vital Statistics System's mortality rates and by fatal encounters, a journalist-run database documenting police-involved deaths as reported by public records and news coverage. According to the research, death by way of excessive force was used by law enforcement led to the top six cases of death for men between the ages of 20 and 35, falling only behind cancer, heart disease, homicide, suicide, and accidents, including drug overdoses, traffic accidents, and other accidental deaths in descending order. To help remedy the problem, the study recommends that more social welfare and public health programs be created, as well as more adequate funding of community-based services. In incidents where police killings have resulted, researchers advise a possible restriction of the use of armed officers as first responders in such situations. In a Rutgers University press release cited by the USA Today, Frank Edwards, an assistant professor at the University School of Criminal Justice, who also led the study, stated, "What we lack in this country are the solid estimates of police-related deaths because there is no official database where this information is stored." So we don't even know the extent of how prevalent of police violence against citizens is in this country. We don't even know because we don't have an official database that keeps those numbers. They just kind of like put them together from all of these different sources and just kind of come up with the estimates on their own. So, yeah, that's nuts. And the funny thing about it, though, like we had the same reaction when I first saw that story. Like, duh, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many times do we have to reiterate this point? You know what I'm saying? And our final story, again, police motherfucking, the police just out here acting a goddamn ass, man. And again, this shit happened in Michigan.
Oh, man. Is it Michigan is like turning slowly into the Florida of the North?
It kind of is.
Just like a wee bit.
It kind of is. Again, I tell folks a lot, man, when outside of like cities like Detroit, Flint, maybe Grand Rapids a little bit. Detroit is a very red state. It just so happens that like Michigan as a state is kind of large, so we got a lot of rural like areas, especially when you start going up into northern Michigan into the upper peninsula of Michigan, and there ain't a whole lot of black folks there. So yeah, like you got a lot of, like once you get outside of like the Tri-County area, Wayne County, Oakland County, Macomb County, yeah, it's not as diverse, not even by a long shot. So yeah, I'm not surprised by many of these stories, but it's just still like, yo, man, like, you know, you start thinking about this, it's like, yo, man, Michigan, y'all, we on some bullshit. Like, we in the news way too much about this dumb shit, you know? And just like you said, the Florida of the North, because like, pretty soon it's going to be Michigan, man, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Channel 7 here in Detroit. It says, Royal Oak Police apologized to a black man who was stopped after a white woman claimed that he was staring at her.
Oh, that shit.
So Royal Oak Police Department has issued an apology to a black man who was stopped by police on Wednesday after a white woman allegedly said he was staring suspiciously at her. Hold on a second. I think there may be video to this.
Maybe.
Let me see if there's a... yes, there is video. So let me pull this video up for you guys here so I don't have to keep reading. Let me pull this video up so we can all watch this here. Not that either. There we go. All right. So unmute. All right, here we go, y'all.
It's there.
I was
new tonight. Police in Royal Oak under apologizing for their actions, rather. This is all after that video we first showed you yesterday of officers stopping a black man after a white woman reported that he looked at her suspiciously. And for the first time, we are hearing the 911 call that started it all.
It's a silver vehicle. It's across the street from me. He's an African-American male. And I don't know what his deal is, but it's really not, it's making me not feel very comfortable at all.
Now, as 7 Action News reporter Simon Shaquette explains, the man and his attorney filed a formal complaint today while the department is releasing new video along with an apology.
We're learning more about allegations of discrimination and racial profiling here in Royal Oak today. Specifically, a man who says he's a victim and his attorney meeting with police to file a formal complaint.
This young man is stopped because a Caucasian lady said that he looked at her suspiciously.
This recent Facebook video was taken after 20-year-old Devin Myers had police called on him by a white woman who allegedly accused him of looking at her suspiciously. Myers says at the time his request for a supervisor to be called was denied and he was made to feel like a criminal when all he wanted to do was park his car and get some food at a nearby restaurant.
I've seen it on TV, but I never thought it would happen to me, especially not in an urban area like this.
He has been pulled over walking to go to eat by two police officers.
Today, police released new dash cam video along with an apology and part of a statement saying, quote, the officer had no legal right to demand the identification and should have simply advised Mr. Myers why we were there and allowed him to go on his way. Devin is thanking a nearby worker who shot the video and ultimately got police to call in a higher ranking supervisor. While no arrest was made, Devin says a prior nasty run-in with one of the same officers has left him reluctant to return to Royal Oak.
He didn't want to hear it. He just wanted to go on and say, you know, I'm overpowering you. I have my badge. I can do what I want. I don't have to listen. I don't want to listen. He didn't want to hear my voice.
The initial officer and his behavior, how things could have been handled, it was addressed by the chief that things could have and should have been handled differently.
Police are also now saying what took place is unacceptable and both a responding officer and a supervisor didn't handle things in a manner expected of them. Discipline and additional training are now being carried out. The woman who called police near 4th and Knowles has not been identified. The Royal Oak mayor has issued a statement indicating the city is working every day to combat racial bias.
The chief understands and wants that as well because it's very concerning not only for myself but Devin and everyone else who viewed the video as to how he was addressed by the officers.
At this point, police are still declining to speak with us on camera. From Royal Oak, Simon Shaquette, 7 Action News.
Thank you, Simon.
All right. So, looking at a white woman, looking at a white woman now, you could put that on the list. Like, let's see, barbecuing while black, looking while black, job hunting while black, selling water while black.
Existing while black, yeah, walking just down the street while black.
It's kind of exhausting. Like, you know, a lot of times, man, like, racist white people get to talking about, yo, you guys are always playing race card, you know? Everything's racist. I'm tired of hearing about it. Like, yo, man, you know how tired I am of dealing with this shit? I can't play a card y'all asses didn't deal to me, man. I can't play the Joker if you ain't deal me the big Joker. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta laugh to keep from crying and shit. Cause that's pretty much where it's at. Like, my man was trying to park the ride. She like, I don't know what his deal is. Hey, how about you move your car? Maybe if you rolled the window down and asked him, hey, you know, can I help you? You know, maybe that. But to call the police because somebody is looking at you. And that's the other thing too about the police, and I've said this on the show here many a time, like, you know, the police are kind of used as a weapon to, like, keep us in line. That's pretty much how white people use the police. It's not so much that they, it's like customer service for whiteness.
Right. Like, it does not work for us the same way. I believe if I called the police and wasted their time like that, they would arrest me.
Oh, yeah, you going to jail. You're going
to I would. They would politely remind me that making false claims to the police is an arrestable offense. They'll politely remind me that calling 911 for minor petty reasons is an arrestable offense. They would remind me of all that shit.
They would hit you with the filing a false police report. I'm like, well, damn it, I ain't even filed a report yet. I just called you motherfuckers. like, well, wasting our time. That's a charge now. You know, like, I think there were some people who were actually looking for legislation for that very thing, like for calling the police on non-emergency situations. I think there were some legislators that were actually trying to put forward laws that would prevent this sort of thing from happening. But, yo, man. These things continue to happen, and it's exhausting. And it's one of the reasons why, as much as like proud to be an American, like, you know, it's all patriotic and shit, it's ironic as fuck. It's like, it's totally ironic because we ain't, excuse me, we are not proud of this shit. So, yeah, man, it's been a long show. It's been a long show. And we gonna get on up out of here. We're not gonna do the champ of the week or the ass hat of the week this week. We gotta kind of roll up out of here. But before we do, Cook, fam. Mm. Tell the folks how they can get in touch with you over there at the Highly Inappropriate Podcast.
Okay, so the new show title is Highly Inappropriate, hosted by Cook Simmons. Yes, all them motherfucking words. Highly Inappropriate, hosted by Cook Simmons. I've reached out to customer service, and they've assured me that everything is looking fine with all the links now and that things are changing over. So you can catch me on Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podomatic, anywhere where RSS radio feeds are picked up.
Well, all right. I appreciate you for being here on the show today. I was actually on Highly Inappropriate earlier today, so it's good that we can kind of touch bases twice in one day. We out here podcasting hard. You know what I'm saying?
Hort, my nigga, Hort. We going Hort.
Podcast Hort, you know what I'm saying? But, yo, I appreciate Cook for sliding through, man, and joining us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast for today's episode, man. Real talk. Short notice, too. I hit her up yesterday. Like, yo, you want to come through?
No problem. And look, I apologize for being CPT. My bad.
It happens. That's all I need. You know what I'm saying? But you know, we made it do what it do. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we roll, you know. But it's time for us to get on up out of here. Let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let those voices be heard, man. Hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll replay them here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails, and those emails will get read here and responded to right here live on the show as well. Chop it up with your man Spans here on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spans. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with me throughout the week. And also go to www.thespanreport.com. You can watch replays of the show. You can actually play the replays of the show through your phone. You can listen that way through your web browser or what have you. You can go to our store there. Get you some merch, man. Get yourself a fly-ass Spanreport Podcast Network t-shirt or the Beer and Chicken Podcast shit or the Baywatch shit, because me and my wife will be on Baywatch Podcast this week doing the wrap-up for Life After Lockup, Love After Lockup, the wrap-up of that for this season. And, yeah, man, we got a lot going on, and I'm glad to be back here on these microphones, man, talking shit with y'all and talking shit with the fam, and we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, y'all, peace.
All right.